broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, and to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We've been talking about this for literally days, weeks, months now, and sadly, it's not going to go away anytime soon. We are confident that given the opportunity, we will expose this election for the sham that it was. Carrie Lake gives statement on the election contest taking place. Arizona, sadly, has already certified the elections, but the debate goes on. Supposedly, you can't even challenge the elections until they're certified. And then once they're certified, they use that term against you, saying, well, they're already certified, don't you know? And then they say things like this: hey, Carrie Lake challenges certified election. Well, of course she does, because you can't challenge it before the, quote, election. I mean, it is a disaster, ladies and gentlemen, in the making, that's for sure. But Chris Carlson is with me to break it down. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
All right. The Epoch Times probably has the most prolific reporting on the topic of election fraud. Arizona set to certify the Lake Hobbs race. And here's three main takeaways. Patricia, basically from the Epoch Times, reports the details. This is an ongoing story because Carrie Lake has already sued, and they're already debating it till the cows come home. Chris?
Yeah, so the Arizona Republican candidate for governor, Carrie Lake, as you mentioned, Sam, says stay tuned as the Copper State is going to officially certify the controversial gubernatorial race between her and Katie Hobbs on Monday. Of course, this is way back dated, but a lot of that has happened. I'm not exactly sure what the, quote, smoking gun, unquote, was that she revealed. I'm still kind of waiting for that. But there are some major electoral issues that she issued a lawsuit against the Maricopa County Board of Exalted Personages for I know that they would like to be addressed. It's actually the Board of Supervisors. And here are the charges, according to Carrie Lake's attorney. So in Maricopa County, there were 223 polling centers, as you know, Sam, and at least 118 locations experienced problems when the county's ballot printers produced ballots that were not printed dark enough for the county's vote tabulation machines to read. Okay, that's one of the charges. Additionally, Carrie Lake's attorneys allege that voting machines issues and long wait lines for in-person voting discriminated against people who chose to vote on election. I both know, Sam, are normally the more conservative-minded people who know that the mail-in ballot system is full of corruption and opportunities for fraud. So those are the two main concerns. As well as the tabulators, you know, to the county board of supervisors claims they tested the printers and they got them to work, but they never proved that the tabulators were tabulating the votes accurately. And to this day, there's no evidence to support that the votes were even being tabulated. So we don't know who won the election. After over two weeks of counting, and it is interesting to note, Sam, that of all the elections that took extended periods of time, almost every one of those elections resulted in a Democrat win. Is that just a coincidence, or is there something fishy going on with the fact that, unlike Florida, by the way, who announced all of its winners of all of its major candidates on election night, it took states like Arizona, literally weeks to determine the outcome. And in Georgia, of course, they had to have a runoff. But almost in every case, Sam, is it just a coincidence that in every case where it took extended periods of time to count the votes, the Democrats magically won? I find that highly suspicious.
Well, it's certainly highly suspicious. It's beyond that. The problem is that when they force you to certify elections, why is there a time window between when you get the votes turned in and the certification process? If you're going to just certify no matter what anyway, if you're going to threaten arrest or violations of the law to those who say we need some time to look into this, we see concerns, problems, whatever you want to say, evidence of corruption, to force the election at that point is really literally criminal activity. Carrie, in this case, cannot even sue until after the certification takes place. That makes the lawsuit moot unless they're going to undo the certification that they have done. But to certify something when there's questions and or those issues haven't been ran to ground is criminal activity. And pretty much relates to the Brunson lawsuit by Lloyd Brunson and brothers, the Brunson brothers, basically saying, look, we've got to have a window where this stuff is actually looked into and investigated. And when they refuse to do so, they're guilty of dereliction of duty, to say the least, Chris.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter, you know, what results you get from those investigations. The fact is there is sufficient evidence. I mean, there's a hue and cry on the part of a significant number of the populace to warrant a congressional investigation. In Arizona, the majority of people in Arizona are conservative. And there is a hue and cry. There is a lot of scuttlebutt. I know people from Arizona that I've talked to personally, Sam, who talk about just the scuttlebutt about the corruption, the sense that there's something not right in the election process in Arizona. But yeah, Congress refuses to address the issue. There's some more evidence. And I know I didn't send you this information, but I just got it last night from the World Affairs Brief that I think we need to investigate. If this is not a smoking gun, Sam, I don't know what it is. So Joel Skousen naturally does a very deep research, and he's very much on top of all of the allegations of election fraud throughout the nation. And this one's a brand new one. Have you ever heard of campaign finance mule, Sam? Campaign finance. This we talked about the 2000 mule.
Well, it's basically the same thing, but it relates to dollars instead of ballots. Basically, it's manipulating money and transitioning money from place to place, and basically taking the money into cash, doing so because then you can inject it anywhere, and unless you can trace where the cash came from, there's really no paper trail to follow per se. Chris, and since the laws protect some of these groups, all you got to do is have the mules work between nonprofits and organizations with special privilege, and voila, you've got plenty of money out of thin air. Oh, they print it out of thin air, and now they mule it out of thin air right into campaigns, Chris.
Yeah, no, and you're referring to political action committees and other subversive and discreet methods of getting money. Try this one on.
I'm referring to cash being taken out and inserted into the system along the way by mules, but go ahead.
Yeah, and this is a different one because, as you know, individuals can give no more than $2,800 per candidate per election. Okay, that's been a fixed rule for I don't know how many years, as far as I can remember. But it's been discovered by an individual by the name of Chris Gleason, who is an engineer. So he did a little research on who was giving money to the Raphael Warnock senatorial campaign in the state of Georgia. And Raphael Warnock was able to raise an incredible sum of $52.2 million. And this Chris Gleason guy, I'm not sure, I don't know a whole lot about him except he's an engineer. He decided to download the records of all those people who donated individual contributions to the Raphael Warnock campaign. And guess what he discovered? He discovered through opensecrets.org, where you can get information on donor contributions, and he sorted them according to name, address, employment, and to whom they were donating. And he discovered some shocking patterns, Sam. Individuals from all over the country, not just from the state of Georgia, where Raphael Warnock was running, donated small amounts like $5, $10, $25 to Warnock's campaign committee, but they were doing it 5 to 10 times per day. Now, already that's suspicious, often accumulating to over $5,000 to $6,000 per donor. And not only were they doing it 5 to 10 times per day, they were doing it periodically over a month, month and a half period. Now, that is highly suspicious. And such donations accumulated, now listen to this, to over $24 million with those, what Joel Skousen refers to as campaign finance mule contributions. Now, if that isn't a red flag, and if that does not compel Congress to do some investigations, I don't know what does. That is clearly highly irregular.
They're not interested.
They're not interested.
They will do no investigations.
Yeah. Joel Skousen goes on to say, all of these top 30 individual donors made between 200 and 300 donations in the few months before the election. Who do you know, he asks, who do you know who donates 5 to 10 times a day and every day for over a month? No one, unless you're being paid to do so, which makes them part of an illegal conspiracy. And I say amen. And thank you, Joel Skousen, for exposing that fraud.
And good for our buddy Joel for doing it, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like Maricopa County files in the Carrie Lake lawsuit, and the filing basically calls to dismiss. There's a claim to dismiss, they say. The reason, the legal arguments made by Lake are said to be nonsense. Maricopa County's attorneys say the 7,254 pages or exhibits will add nothing of value for the court to consider. So dismiss it. Chris, can you believe that they're saying this kind of stuff? They don't really give any details, any evidence. They're just saying, hey, we don't want you to consider any of this. So dismiss it, Chris.
Yeah, it is not. They say, quote, It is to make clear that the court will not condone litigants ignoring the steps Arizona has already taken towards the elections and furthering false narratives. They're claiming that Carrie Lake is furthering false narratives and that baselessly undermine public trust at a time of increasing disinformation about and distrust in the democratic process, unquote. Well, first of all, we don't have a democracy. So that's kind of a misnomer there. And I will concede the point that voting is a democratic process. But there is tons of evidence. And the hue and cry of the people from the state of Arizona, I know that the people, they just sense, even though they may not have access, you know, like you and I, because we do a little deeper research to some of the evidence. But there's no way. There was this red wave surge. Everybody I know is disgusted, even Democrats, with the inflation that we're experiencing, the high gas prices, and basically the way we withdrew from Afghanistan. Nobody's in favor of the Democratic establishment of Washington today. There is a hue and cry against Democratic politics. How is it that so many Democrats won so handily in so many states? That doesn't make sense. And I know that's just circumstantial evidence. But, and I've just presented you other evidence that, you know, we didn't heretofore. But how do you have 118 machines in 223 polling centers in Maricopa County? They have 729 days to prepare for one day out of 2 years, Sam. They can't get those machines running like well-oiled machines in preparation for one day of voting? Give me a break.
Chris, they are well-oiled machines. They're working perfectly, sir.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I know.
And I don't mean that offensively. What I mean to articulate is if your goal is fraud, they created a flawless state of confusion that the government will not let you challenge. Let me explain. We've gone to court after court after court after court, been turned down over and over and over and over. We've asked about the machines. We've asked about the 2000 Mules movie. We've now asked about the Joel Skousen Mules in terms of finances, little teeny bits over and over and over by multiple people, multiple times a day, putting money into campaigns. We've talked about the black money, the dark money. We've gone to the courts. We've gone to the president to try to do something about it. We've gone to the different legislative bodies. We've gone to the sheriffs. We've gone to everybody. And besides a couple of, small little wins here or there, the fact is we've even proven they're storing data on communist Chinese servers. Nobody cares. Nothing's going to be done. America's corrupt, and there's no way to stop it anymore because the American people won't do anything about it. Okay? You try to surround the courthouse in Maricopa County, and you'll literally just get the FBI to decide, hey, we're going to have to declare war on these crazy domestic threat insurrectionists. See? We've proven that in January the 6th. We've proven that in Charlottesville. We've literally proven that everywhere. And that's where they're going. And I don't mean to be negative about this except to say that's what we're seeing. Look, the attorney literally says there's nothing to see here. Carrie Lake filed 27, whatever it is, 7,254 pages, just nonsense. Okay? It's all nonsense. It won't add anything. So instead of the judge reviewing it to determine if it adds anything, we're just going to simply have the, you know, prosecution against Carrie because now she's being sued. Prosecution just says, look, there's nothing to see here. Everything she says is absolute nonsense, frivolous, waste of time on the courts, dismiss. And likely that's going to happen just as they certify the election, despite all the problems by force. Chris?
Well, you know, to their credit, Sam, U.S. District Court Judge John Tucci is doing something about it. But you know what he's doing? He's issuing a motion for sanctions against Carrie Lake. In other words, he's charging her a fine for fining the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. I guess you can't file lawsuits without consequences. I mean, I know in the past, like malicious lawsuits, there were penalties for that. I guess now there's, you know, questioning the results of a completely corrupt and fraudulent election now is a malicious lawsuit. So yeah, they are doing something, but it's not going in the right direction.
Well, and they're making it harder for folks to even want to sue because you've got to, when you think about suing now, it doesn't matter the evidence you put together, you have to now ask yourselves, are you ready to be sued? And are you able to handle the blowback when you get sued? And so, hey, this is going to chill lawsuits on any of these topics.
Yep.
To the point where nobody's going to sue. Chris, why would you dare take a chance of suing when you're likely to have to just pay dearly no matter what the evidence is, right?
Well, you wouldn't be able to afford to, obviously. And John Tucci himself, and this is a quote to the point you just made, Sam, it is to send a message to those who might file similarly baseless suits in the future. End of quote. So, yeah, you were in a bad situation. There's no question about it. Not a whole lot of good news to report today. Although there are a couple of very high.
Well, understand. I mean, look at this story in relation to this. Look at this story in relation to this, Chris. Feds in the shadows. Leaked documents say that over 300 members of the Oath Keepers, maybe current or former Department of Homeland Security employees. Not clear how many are literally federal operatives. This is reported in the Gateway Pundit. Right?
Yes.
They know full well what's going on. So how many of these election fraudsters are, how many of the people in the polls? Let's ask this question. How many people that are in the polls, meaning poll workers, poll watchers, poll counters, how many of them work for the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, etc.? No one's even asking those kind of questions yet, are they, Chris?
No. No, and that was, of course, these works of darkness will be revealed, but it might be 20 years before we get to the bottom. So in the meantime, we do what we're doing, and we try to expose this fraud, to the degree that we can. And I think when it's finally completely and totally exposed, we're going to find out that it wasn't as bad as we thought. It was 20 times worse, I'm afraid. But we do what we can do. But there are a couple of good guys in positions of power. Do you want to talk about Eric Schmidt and Jeff Landry, the two attorneys general from the states of Missouri?
Before we get to them, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to highlight, there's articles now wondering, hey, what happens next to this election fraud discussion? Where do we go next, Chris? Any ideas on this?
Well, just write more letters to more senators and representatives and local legislators. I don't know. You tell me, Sam. What do we do? We talked about hunkering down.
Well, in my mind, look, until enough Americans push back, I don't think there's anything we can do. Chris, we have let the secret combinations in government get above us to where there's not really, as far as I can tell, a whole lot we can do at this point. Is there?
No, you're right. But one thing we can do and we must do is we must continue to expose these secret works of darkness. And because if we don't, then their blood will be on our hands. I'm talking about the blood of the innocents, not the blood of the criminals. We need to continue. Just like the analogy that I've used over and over again, Sam, about if I knew that there was a tsunami coming ashore and I didn't warn the people on the beach, then their destruction would be on my head. Whereas if I warned them and they didn't heed my warning and the same thing happened as if I didn't warn them, then their blood would be upon their head and my hands would be clean. So we need to continue to warn and, to go to the highest levels. We're going to talk about how members of the early Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints did that. I don't mean to get too far ahead of schedule in the 1840s and the results of that. But we'll get to that in due time here. We need to continue to warn people, Sam. That's all I'm saying. Otherwise, we're derelict in our duty.
Yeah, when we come back, I want to talk about an article, or I should say an email that I got from True the Vote on this very topic, okay? Hang tight. I'm Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson with me, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. Searchers in Ukraine are combing through rubble from a Russian blast looking for any survivors after one of the biggest attacks of the war yet. Emergency crews pulled the body of a toddler from the debris before dawn on Saturday. A Russian missile strike tore through an apartment building in central Ukraine, killing 4 people and wounding 13. 76 missiles were fired Friday in the latest Russian attack targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Russian forces have damaged power lines and houses. The Remain in Mexico policy is not going anywhere.
A federal judge's ruling won't let the Biden administration and former President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. The 2019 policy forces those seeking asylum in the U.S. to wait in Mexico until their cases are heard, including those who aren't from Mexico. I'm Dave Collins.
Gas prices have sunk to their lowest average in more than a year. AAA says the national average is $3.18, lower by 14 cents over the past week and the cheapest since September of 2021. Gas prices are averaging under $3 a gallon in 19 states. Wreaths Across America is honoring the country's greatest heroes by laying wreaths at thousands of cemeteries in every state today.
We'll be placing 2,706,000 wreaths today, saying the names of that many heroes, and you know it's just a wonderful way for people to get in touch with their history and heritage and teach their children.
Executive Director Karen Worcester tells Fox News her family has been doing this at Arlington National Cemetery every year since 1992. Wreaths are being placed at more than 3,700 cemeteries nationwide. Pope Francis honored those involved in charity work during a celebration of his 86th birthday today. There's a ceremony held at the Vatican. This is USA News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members, they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing, if you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before December 31st. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, the reason I'm staying on this topic is I think there's a couple of things from Through the Vote that I want to highlight relating to this. By the way, that column you talked about from Joel Skousen is called Election Donor Fraud Uncovered, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. But I also got an email from True the Vote, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips, that I really think has relevance and can kind of set the stage for this. Here's the topic of the True the Vote email that I received. Dear friends of ours, Greg and Catherine, they say this: keep the fight for election integrity going strong. At True the Vote, we hold one ideal as our true north. That is, we the people are more powerful than all of them. So I know the people aren't engaged, and so we're in a fix right now, Chris. I agree with that reality check. But I also know I'm making the same point that Catherine and Greg are making, which is if we the people choose to get engaged, we the people are more powerful than all of them. That is the true north we need to hang to. We need to also understand that if the people turn to God and repent, if we look at God, family, and country as the solutions, there's no stopping we the people. But True the Vote continues and finishes by saying this: our elections have been corrupted by a thousand cuts, and the path to righting these wrongs will be by a thousand measures rather than by a singular victory that, quote, fixes everything. But when we show up, when we stand up, when we speak up to expose the corruption, the exploitation of the holy process, our actions will indeed drive change. And the reason I wanted to finish on that with this topic, Chris, is because it really, in my opinion, summarizes the solution and our responsibility as Americans, as voters, as patriots. You know what? We have an obligation individually and as families, which is the fundamental unit of society, for driving that change, for getting involved, for realizing those actions. You know what? We're going to right those wrongs by 1,000 measures. We're not going to do it all at once. We're not going to do it by a singular act or a singular issue. We've got to have our actions create change. And I bring that up because I'll never give up hope when we, the people, can join together and can peacefully resolve these problems we face. Chris, this cannot be overlooked. I wanted to highlight that as well before we move on. Any thoughts?
Yeah, so I believe that there are more good people in this nation than there are evil. I believe that the problem is complacency on the part, or lack of a sense of power. We feel as if we are outnumbered, we are outpowered. We're not outnumbered in the claim of being outpowered, yes, because we don't have the ability to print money, you know, to our heart's content. But just keep on keeping on. We know the end from the beginning. We know that the good guys win in the end. So the trick is to just, you know, keep up hope, realize that in the sense that eventually, you know, God's wrath will be felt upon the wicked and they will be overthrown and we will prevail. How would you feel if you had given up, you know, like today, and then 20 years from now, finally, you know, the victory is won by the good guys, but we were disengaged for the next 20 years. So you just keep on keeping on. You don't worry. I mean, things aren't so bad that, you know, we need to give up yet. We still have access to our representatives. We can still write. I have, you know, my local representative, I talk to him on a regular basis, Sam, and he engages me in that conversation. So the means to remedy are there, and we just need to keep using them, even though it feels at times that we're spinning our wheels. We need to just keep on keeping on because of running the country into the ground.
But that's why it's so important never to give up. It's so important to spend the time to highlight the solution. But what I didn't like a little bit about what we were talking about with Kerry Lake is there was no solution being discussed by us at Liberty Roundtable Live. And I always promise solutions on your radio. So I wanted to kind of highlight and wait a little bit until we, you know, finished by talking about the True the Vote solution. Because, you know, these guys went to jail for their beliefs. These guys stand up boldly, nobly. And we need to understand that even though they've done a lot of damage, even though they've forced us to certify elections, even though they're set to certify, even though they're suing Kerry Lake, we need to understand that the truth is on our side. And this election donor fraud uncovered is another layer of exposing corruption by Joel Skousen. This effort by Keep the Fight for Election Integrity Going Strong by Catherine and Greg. This idea that, hey, we can get involved. And we, you know what? Our greater numbers are the key. We need to never forget that. And then we need to basically educate our neighbor and those around us a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, even though it seems like we're so slow to come to the solutions. You know, we are making progress, though, and I've seen more people come to the solutions in the last 5 years than I have in the first 20-plus years I've been at this, Chris. So there is hope. There are good things happening. They just seem painfully slow. And it does feel like election fraud is death by a thousand cuts, so to speak. But the path to the righting the wrongs, it's like slice out of time politics is how they've destroyed America. We're going to fix it the same way. We're not going to fix it with a grandiose solution. I wish we could. I wish we would, but we're not. But exposing more corruption by the FBI, we're just kind of in a phase. You know, you got to expose all the corruption and discuss where we really are. And believe it or not, it feels worse when all these things are getting uncovered. Every time you turn around, there's new scandal, new fraud, new corruption uncovered. But it's kind of like repentance, you know, when the sin is not known, it feels okay, but it's not. When the sin's known, it feels like it's disaster, but it's not. You're actually on the road to repentance. First, it's got to be acknowledged, and then it's got to be, you know, You got to right the wrong and make the change. And we're in that process, and the room gets messier before it gets cleaned up. I could use several analogies to highlight the point. So it feels worse now than it did 20 years ago, maybe. But I submit to you that it's not, because in many ways we're on the road to recovery. But the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security frequently met with social media companies ahead of the 2020 election. And they literally pointed out violations of free speech. Remove what Sam said here. Remove what so-and-so said there. And the FBI literally got caught now in court testimony, Chris.
Yeah, but they've got some pretty good excuses, and we'll get to those in a minute. But let me talk about an individual by the name of Ellis Chan, who is culpable for engaging in a lot of these subversive activities with social media companies. And we know for certain, you know, without any doubt, because Mark Zuckerberg told us that the FBI contacted Facebook. But he didn't. I'll give you the direct quote. We'll begin the discussion. He said, "If the FBI, if they come to us and tell us we need to be on guard about something, then I want to take that seriously." Unquote. And that's Mark Zuckerberg. We talked about this a couple weeks ago with Joe Rogan on his show. You know, they did say the FBI came and asked us to violate our subscribers' First Amendment rights to free speech. No, they said, we need to be on guard, Sam. So see how they parse their words to make it sound like they're protecting us rather than violating our rights? Anyway, going back to the main article, so there's a whistleblower, and he was in charge of he was in the FBI. There's a department. I'll see if I can find that. Cyber Affairs. The FBI Cyber Affairs Department, okay? And also the Department of Homeland Security was involved with this as well. You know, that great Republican-created establishment back in the days of 9/11. So he basically says that the FBI was actively meeting with social media companies like Facebook and Twitter. At first it was on a monthly basis, it was on a quarterly basis, then on a monthly basis, then on a weekly basis as the election approached. And specifically, they were talking about the Hunter Biden laptop and talking about that it was, quote, a Russian hack or Russian disinformation. And they use words like the FBI regularly engages with private sector entities to provide information specific to identified, listen to the wording here, foreign malign influence actors, subversive, undeclared, covert, or criminal activities. Dun, dun, dun. So they specifically use these words to make it sound like they're really evil guys, and we need to take extraordinary measures, including subverting free speech, which I don't believe you should ever resort to. We should never have to, and I know Donald Trump spoke to this a couple of weeks ago, which was very, very disappointing. I don't think we ever need to subvert constitutional principles in order to get to the bad guy, Sam, because then the people that are subverting those principles and those rights become the bad guys much more easily than they become our saviors.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live, the corruption continues to be exposed. We are on the road to recovery, even though it doesn't feel like it, huh? I'm Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson with me. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Chris Carlson. We're talking about the FBI and the corruption committed by the Department of Homeland Security. Remember, the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, was created by the Republicans as well, Chris. So let's not think this is a Democrat-Republican fight. This is deep state government run amok, unconstitutional agencies drunk with power against we the people, sir.
And we knew at the time when the Department of Homeland Security was established, you and I both knew that it was unconstitutional and that it would lead to nothing but trouble, Sam, to our credit. And I'm not trying to bolster you and me. I'm just trying to say these things are obviously violations of constitutional principles. Homeland Security should be individuals for the most part. You know, that's why our founding fathers recognized our right to keep and bear arms. I mean, the 99% of our nation's defense should be individual. We're going to talk about organized militias a little later, but, you know, that would be a big part of it. But all of that's been taken away from us, and now the only people who can save us are these highfalutin politicians and bureaucrats, primarily in Washington, D.C., now that are going to save us from these bad, evil Russian hackers, right? It's always Russia, Russia, Russia. And this is no exception. You know, these FBI agents, when they talk to these social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, you know, they always invoke Russia, because I guess nowadays, whenever you invoke the name of Russia or Vladimir Putin, you're supposed to just give up all of your rights. We have to do whatever it takes to facilitate the subversion of these evil international threats. And even if it requires that we do away with our constitutional rights to free speech. Now, there is some good news in connection with this. Of course, as I think we mentioned, there are two attorneys general, one from the state of Missouri by the name of Eric Schmidt, and one from the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, who are filing lawsuits against the FBI for these violations. Now, again, I'm not Pollyannish about the results of these lawsuits. They will probably be dismissed on technicalities, or they will probably be postponed until doomsday. You know the techniques that the courts use. You know, they always have excuses to kick the can down the road, and that's probably what they'll do. They'll just probably postpone them, say we need more time to gather evidence, and, you know, then everybody forgets that those lawsuits were filed in the first place. But I kind of want to go into some of the FBI's excuses for justifying what they're doing with these social media platforms. The FBI, and this is according to the Epoch Times article by Peter Schwab that this discussion is based upon, and the FBI defended itself by suggesting it was merely providing the companies with information about who's doing the talking on their platforms. Now, Sam, if the FBI shows up on your doorstep and you see, you know, five guys in dark suits with sidearms and suggest that you do something, don't you think you would take it a little more seriously than if your neighbor just walked over and suggested you do the same thing?
Without question, but it depends on what they suggest I do on what my action would be.
Yeah.
All right, let me give you an example. If they come to my house and knock on my door and ask me to do something that I find inappropriate in any way, what I would simply do is I'd say, gentlemen, I'm sure you're well aware, I'm sure you listen to my talk show, and if you don't, I would recommend you listen to it for a couple of weeks before we have another discussion. But if you have listened to my talk show and you're aware of it, what I'm proposing you do is come on the radio with me and discuss what you're proposing I do, and let's see what the audience has to say about it. Let's see what the nation has to say. And if they refuse, then I'd be ready to tell the story.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say that is I don't know if people understand this, but they believe being quiet will save them. It will not save them. All it will do is heap more trouble on their children. Okay, the only way we can stop these clowns, these criminals, these power-hungry zealots for tyranny, is to oppose them and to take our opposition public. We don't need to be belligerent. We don't need to be violent. I reject all that. We need to restore the republic peacefully in the traditions of our founders. Okay, our founders were very peaceful people, and you say, what are you talking about, Sam? They were in the middle of a massive revolutionary war. You don't know what you're talking about, Sam. I submit to you that you're wrong. I do know what I'm talking about. Yes, they eventually were forced to have a war because King George would not give up power willingly. But the truth is the founding fathers were a very peaceful lot.
Yes.
They were a very patient lot. And if you don't believe me, all you got to do is go back to the Declaration of Independence. They were so fearful of being violent. They were so fearful of what they needed to do that they almost didn't do it. They debated it amongst themselves in private places. Then they eventually wrote the Declaration of Independence to say, do we rise to the bar of the action we're about to take? Is this really necessary? And they wrote the chain of usurpations and abuses against them. They documented it before a candid world and said, look, this is why we must do something. And they brought that document forward as justification for the action they were about to take. They were working on this revolution. The revolution was set in the hearts and the minds of the people over the last several decades before we deemed to be considered the Revolutionary War days. The Revolutionary War in a relative situation was pretty dang short. Several years was the war, right?
Yeah, 7 years.
But they had been preparing themselves and dealing with these issues, wrestling with these complicated issues, and slowly but surely preparing the hearts and minds of the people for this eventuality, knowing that it was necessary, hesitant to take such actions, dedicated in their commitment, but understand that the pulpits were aflame with righteousness, teaching the principles through the I would highlight the black-robed regiment. Okay, they were working on this well before what we determined the war to ever have started. This was not short in the making. And this was not taken lightly by the founding fathers. I want to make that very clear. Okay, they were peaceful people. I hope to say because of the sacrifice, the blood spilt, all that they gave, I hope that this time around we don't have to have a war. I hope we can use the foundation that they set, the checks and balances and the seeds of solution available to us to avoid the conflict that will come again if we let history completely repeat itself. But we can be wise and let enough history repeat itself to say, let's not get into that fix once again. Let's find a better way and use the supreme law of the land and the checks and balances and all the blessed principles they put in place to prevent war. But anyway, I digress, except I really want to highlight the founding fathers were very peaceful people, Chris.
Yeah, they did not have encoded in law, for example, the Second Amendment, although they exercised it back then, our founding fathers, or the First Amendment, or the Fourth Amendment. We can go on, and which advantage we do have today, even though they are summarily ignored, as we're witnessing on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, at least we have appeal to those written into our founding documents, which is good because, you know, to a degree, almost all, including some Democratic representatives, at least give lip service to those recognized God-given rights. But to the FBI, they're trying to wiggle out of this. They're trying to justify their actions based on the fact that they talk about this is a Russian hack and elite operation shortly before the election. The FBI also argued that the tech companies are censoring the content of their own accord. And here's another one that bugs the heck out of me, Sam. We've talked about this before. They claim that the tech companies are private. And I can prove to you that they are not, because they were funded in their inception. They were funded by an organization, the FBI, called InQtel. InQtel is a capital funding mechanism whereby the FBI can fund organizations that they feel are beneficial to their agendas. And Facebook and Twitter were part of that funding. They literally received funding from you and me as taxpayers. How can you tell me that they are private organizations? They are not. They are accountable to you and me because they've used our tax funds. So you cannot use that excuse anymore, people.
Well, and this is an example where even the Department of Defense, what you've had, and this was really documented well by James, what's his name, last name? Anyway, he does a lot of videos and exposés and research on this stuff. He documented that the U.S. military, the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, the FBI, CIA, it's really a continuation of Operation Mockingbird in yesteryear where they control the media. But in this case, they built the new media apparatus, and they did so with basically money from government, general government on one hand, local universities on the other hand. That's where the, quote, talent comes in. The control comes from the government, the military. The talent comes from the universities. And then these big corporations, they claim it's private. Well, it's all complete lies. It's not private. It was funded and created. Google was that way. Facebook, Twitter, all these companies have received tremendous support through these mechanisms. And James,
O'Keefe.
His name?
O'Keefe?
No, not no. O'Keefe.
Not very
I'll look
okay.
it up here. The something report is what James does.
The Corbett report.
Yeah. James Corbett, the Corbett report. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Thank you. It has documented this more than anybody else in the country and done a phenomenal job in doing so. He's got documents and videos to back up the point and the claim and evidence dragging InQtel and others involved in this. So anyway, this is nothing new. We've seen it. We expect it. The FBI in this is criminal. And they've been really literally in bed with Facebook and Twitter. And I'm just grateful for the Missouri and the Louisiana governors, Landry and what's the other guy's name? Landry and Schmidt?
Eric Schmidt, yeah.
Okay, for really digging on this and doing a great job. If all 50, this is the point again about the people. If you had 50 governors doing this and 50 state attorney generals doing this and 50, you would get somewhere in a hurry, Chris. But, you know, when you have 2 out of 50, what percent is that? 4%, Chris?
2 out of 50, yeah, 4%. That was pretty quick.
You've
math,
only got
Sam.
4% digging on this, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why we know what we know so far. For good for them, but we need a whole lot more if we want to get this solved. Before the end of the hour, I want you to comment on this too, really quick, Chris. Hundreds of Chinese manufactured drones have been detected in restricted airspace over Washington, D.C. in recent months, affecting national security. And they say it could be a new means for foreign espionage. And they say that data that they've shared with Congress has already incurred over 100-plus incursions in a recent 45-day period. And then they say, but the sources requested the detail of the numbers, et cetera, be kept quiet for security reasons, Chris. There you have it.
Yeah, the security for the Chinese Communist Party, that's the security that they're serving that for. Yeah,
well, and that's what
that
you really got to wonder. And then the final story for the end of the hour, and I highlighted this story on, I can't remember what show, I think Tuesday's show, Wednesday's show. Legal team now warns government to launch new program spying on truckers. Truckers are the most regulated people in the country, but now they want to spy on truckers and see exactly what every trucker is doing all the time. And if you're not very careful, this could be the bellwether for what happens to you and I. They'll eventually be monitoring all of us all the time. Chris, wrap it up, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, truckers tend to be conservative. I know quite a few of them, and they are red, white, and blue-blooded, patriotic Americans. So, yeah, we need to keep an eye on those guys, Sam. Now, come on. So, all right. Well, we'll continue into next hour. We'll talk about the Mormon Trail of Tears, to be continued.
Ladies and gentlemen, our elections have been corrupted by 1,000 cuts and by 1,000 measures. Shall we find the solution? We, the people, are more powerful than all of they. We shall indeed make the difference. But you got to get involved. Make it a great day and choose the right, will you? Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally, would you please? And we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, but you got to get involved. Make it a great day and choose the right, will you? God save the Republic.